It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we're going to continue our conversation about Penn State's win over Michigan State over the weekend. It was the tale of two halves. First half, Penn State played like that team that went 0-5. The second half, they played like the team that came into the season ranked in the top 10. So a lot of good things to talk about. When we left, we were talking about the offense, and it does appear that they are starting to find their stride with some of the young players. Now, Jahan Dotson, he simply played like a star in this game. He was tremendous. The punt return, I'd like to hear your comments on it. It was something very special.
It was absolutely. It was one of those plays where he was probably one of just a select few across the nation who could have, from start to finish, made that play. So he makes a couple guys miss just with a quick move after he makes the catch, which if you think about what went into that was having the vision to know where these guys were, what their leverage was, where their bodies were taking them, to know that kind of that quick break to the left was going to be enough to leave them behind him. He squeezes through that opening, you know, like there's a little tiny crease between his blockers and the Michigan State defenders, squeezes through there and really hits full stride pretty quickly after that. And at that point, that the run's over. So 81 yards. I don't know if you know this or if Penn State put it out. I can't remember the last punt return touchdown that I've seen. But that was a really impressive play from start to finish. And just you can see these special abilities of Jahan Dotson. And you know, he is. You wish he was a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more durable and able to take some punishment. But at the same time, he's got a special ability to avoid punishment. So he's kind of got that KJ Hamler type. You can't really square him up. He's not the same player as KJ Hamler, but he's got some things that KJ doesn't. And he's a pretty special talent, Jim. You saw all of it on that return.
You really did. And you know, we alluded to this also a little bit, that Parker Washington just seems to grow every week. You mentioned the touchdown pass. Sean Clifford threw the pass with confidence, but Parker Washington really had to go up and get that ball. I'm not sure that's a play that all wide collegiate level wide receivers would have been able to make that play.
No, I mean, you think about what goes into that particular catch too. Obviously the body control and the hands, and I think just the desire and the competitiveness to know that you're probably going to get hit on that play, but you're not going to let that ball hit the turf. You know, so you talk about the physical and the mental makeup of being able to go up and make a play like that. A ball with some zip on it to catch it. With just your hands and know that you're going to take that hit and hold on to it from start to finish. An incredible catch by Parker Washington. And again, just like Jahan Dotson, you know, you see some of the special things that he's capable of doing too. And a lot of that involves making catches where you're going to be in a position on the field where there's going to be defenders around you. And I think you've only started to see him scratch the surface of his ability in those situations. As I mentioned earlier, including run after catch ability is something that we're going to see more and more and more of him. You're going to see him get a little bit stronger. You're going to see him get a little bit faster and quicker, and you're going to start to see him leave guys in the dust. But at the same time, I think that catch on the touchdown showed that you're going to be able to target him down the field. He doesn't have optimal height. He's not that 6'3", 220-pound guy, but he is such a good athlete and such a competitor and just has a knack for coming down with the ball when it's up. I think with Parker Washington, the sky really seems to be the limit with him, and he can be that centerpiece type guy for this offense. It might even have to be as soon as next year. I think he's up to the task.
Well, we've been talking about these weapons now, Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington. They're making some use of the tight ends. Kevon Lee is a weapon. But we started the conversation in segment number one about how conservative this offense can get, running the quarterback draws. Then with their back against the wall, to start the second half, they started to open it up and do that effectively. I guess the question is, going forward, yes, you could argue that conservative got them, you know, this three-game win streak, but does it need to be so conservative? They do have some weapons, and it appears that they should be using them a bit more than they have been.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't know really what the explanation is, other than, you know, in my view, just falling in love with those plays that seem to be working at the time. You know, what's the sense of changing it up whenever we're able to, you know, we're able to get three on first down, we're able to get four on second down, we're in third and manageable a lot. So I don't know, there's a reluctance to break out of it. So they're falling into this pattern. When you see, when the game situation dictates or mandates that they get out of that pattern, that they've got some good things going on. And we've mentioned him a couple of times, that I really like what we've seen from Brenton Strange in terms of his ability to get open and his athleticism when the ball's in his hands. I mean, they've got some interesting weapons that are starting to emerge here. I think they just need to be put in situations where their backs are against the wall before they start using them. I don't anticipate, honestly, any real difference going into Illinois this Saturday, because they've gotten where they've gotten using this same formula. I don't think there's any urgency to really get out of it, and it's going to work again. So I think you're gonna see the same thing unfold. I think it's been pretty maddening at times to know, for everybody in who's watching the game, to know exactly what's coming has been, I think, probably a frustrating experience, especially in that first half. But the coaches don't really have a lot of incentive to break out of that just yet.
Well, and I think the other thing we do have to recognize is this is an offense that was without Pat Freiermuth, without Journey Brown, without Noah Kane, without Devin Ford. That's a lot of weapons they were without. So speaking of being without weapons, let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball, Dustin. And I'm going to start with that same element. If you think about it, Jason Owe didn't play, who was probably their best player along the front line. Micah Parsons, of course, is out, who was their best linebacker. Tariq Castro-Fields has now been out for however many weeks, their most experienced defensive back coming into the season. And the defense now, other than that second quarter, they played quite a game, didn't they?
Yeah, I think you have seen maybe the depth of that group. They've needed the depth of that group. Jason Owe is out, but Shane Simmons plays the game of his life on senior day. I thought that was one of the more awesome storylines of all this. Somebody who's just kind of hung in there, and I know his career, there's been some disappointment and there's been injuries, and you know, everybody wishes that he could have gotten more out of his ability, but it just didn't happen for him. So it was awesome to see that. And you've seen, I think, you know, this combination. I know Daquan Hardy didn't have, you know, all bright moments on Saturday, but I think we've seen what Penn State really likes about him. We've seen Keaton Ellis make some plays over the past couple of weeks. He wasn't available for a little stretch there too. We've seen Joey Porter Jr. from the beginning be a factor. So I think they've needed their depth. And I think on both sides of the ball, but especially on offense, you think about, it was going to take them some time to really feel it out and find their identity, even if things had gone perfectly from an injury standpoint. So now they're not only scrambling to start the year because they didn't have any enough practice time to install this offense properly, but now you also see them scrambling with new guys and new roles and trying to figure out what that means and get into the rhythm of all this. It probably shouldn't surprise us that they've needed this entire 8-game regular season to start to figure things out. And they're still figuring things out. So there's a lot that the coaching staff has had to deal with, but I think both things can be true at the same time, that you can be dealing with a lot and trying to figure things out on the fly while also falling into a maddening pattern that doesn't have to be so.
Well, from the defensive side, Dustin, let's start with the first half and specifically that second quarter where they managed to make a freshman quarterback making his first start look like he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. What is going on when there's those breakdowns in the defensive backfield and receivers are just running free?
I think it's the same communication issues. And I think there were also some instances where, like on Daquan Hardy got beat pretty bad on a touchdown, and that falls into, Michigan State is a weird combination because, looking at them on paper, they don't seem to do a lot well, but they've made big plays happen for a lot of the season. And Penn State's defense, as much as, from down to down, they're pretty good. They still allow too many big plays. And I think they just have guys who aren't in the right spots, who maybe don't fully understand what their assignment is, are expecting help and don't get that help. I mean, there's still, I think, communication breakdowns, and, Penn State's got a lot of good players, but they don't have enough, big time talent that they can get away with that kind of stuff. And I think again and again, maybe Michigan State surprised them with the game plan. Maybe Peyton Thorne surprised them with the throws that he was able to make whenever he had some time and a window. But for whatever, or maybe a combination of those things, whatever the reasoning was, Michigan State for that stretch made it look easy. And I think Penn State's defense, had to take some ownership of that. And I mean, to their credit, they do adjust and they do come out and they do hold this offense to 3 points in the second half. So I think as maddening as that probably was, you also have to give Brent Pry and his guys some credit for buckling down and figuring it out and finding a way to keep these guys out of the end zone.
And this seems to be a common occurrence where that first half, even in the beginning of the season, when they were in that losing streak, they started the game poorly. That first half, they would struggle. Then somehow, some way, they put it together. I'm wondering, Dustin, can they take that halftime speech and play it for the players before the game starts?
It might not be a bad idea, whatever it is. James Franklin said there wasn't much of a speech. So, but how about maybe let's make the adjustment in advance instead of on our heels.
That would work out a lot better. Maybe we'd see four solid quarters of play instead of two. All right, that is it for quarter number two. We're going to continue the conversation about the Penn State defense. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.